This morning, we're going to wrap up this brief series on honor. I shared with you about honoring God and about honoring others. You know, we live in a time, a culture, where there's really not much honor that's offered. There's a lot of put down and a lot of, you know, people malign one another. And we just need to realize, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be different. We want a different culture. And part of that is a culture of honor that we see in the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:54, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me." To honor ourselves would just be pride. We see a lot of that in our world. People brag and boast about what they've done. But we are part of another kingdom. Jesus says, "It is my Father who honors me." That's what we should desire. The honor from God. Not honor from people. We don't seek honor from people. We don't seek to honor ourselves, but only that God would honor us. Never seek honor ourselves. Never seek to be honored by another. John 5:44, "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes only from God?" There's an honor that comes only from God. I want you to know that's the best kind. When God honors you, it's going to all be good. Amen. But in this world, oh, how people desire honor from one another. So much of it comes down to pride. In this world, people are honored when they make a lot of money. People are honored when they have great success or achievement. People are honored when they have some outstanding physical ability or some great talent. All kinds of things in this world that make people honorable, at least in the eyes of the world. But the truth is that I think especially now in the time we're living in, that things like character and integrity and honesty and faithfulness, well, they're just not really necessarily required. In fact, see, people strive for those things because of pride. They're going to receive honor if they achieve, if they accomplish. But here's the thing. The day and the time that we live in, you can be immoral and corrupt. As long as you're successful or talented, you know, you're a celebrity, people will honor you anyway. But I want to tell you, God won't. It's not wrong for us to want to have success and to achieve. In fact, I believe that it's scriptural that if we obey the Lord, obey the word of the Lord, he says he'll make us prosperous and successful. So there's nothing wrong with us wanting to be successful or achieve things, accomplish things. But the intention, the motive of our heart should not be just to seek honor from men. It shouldn't be because of pride. In fact, in those successes and achievements or whatever else it might be, we give all of the honor to God. It's so different than the attitude of the world where it's all about me, but instead it's all about him. And so we give him the praise and the glory. We direct the attention and the focus on the Lord. In the scripture, King Solomon enjoyed great honor in his life like no one else. When he first became king, he didn't seek the honor of men. The Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him that he could have whatever he wanted. And Solomon did not ask for wealth or honor. He only asked for a discerning heart to be able to lead, to govern God's people. But the Lord granted his request, but that's not all. In 1 Kings 3:13, the Lord said, "And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." I want you to know, when we have the honor of God on our life, we are truly blessed. That doesn't mean we're all going to be king. It doesn't mean we're all going to be rich. But I'm just showing you in the scripture that when God honors you, when he shows you honor, oh, how blessed your life is going to be. And so, yes, we desire the honor that comes from God alone. What makes us honorable to God? Well, the first is what we talked about the first week, is that we honor God. That's how we started this series. He's worthy of all the honor we could ever give him. We honor him in our lives through our obedience, in our worship. We honor him by always putting him first in everything. You see, he deserves that place in our life. That's an honor that we give to the Lord. And we don't allow anything else to take that place. 1 Samuel 2:30, the Lord says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." If we want honor, we want God to honor us, first and foremost, we honor him. "Those who honor me, I will honor." We honor God in our daily life. You know, if we're honoring God in our conversation, he's going to honor us. If we're honoring God in the way that we do business, he's going to honor us. If we honor God the way we treat our family, it's going to bring honor on our lives. And when we honor God in our finances, yes, God is going to honor us. But we want to honor God in everything. Next, if we're going to have the honor of God on our life, we have to stop seeking honor from men. His approval is the only one that we should be seeking. Paul said in Galatians 1:10, "Or do I seek to please men? If I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." See, if we're always trying to get everyone else to like us, we're going to become a slave to the opinion of others. The Bible calls that the fear of man. I'm going to talk more about that a little bit later, but we end up being afraid of what someone else might think or say or do. If we're seeking after the honor of man, then there's going to be times that our integrity and our character are compromised and we don't fully obey the Lord. Now, when I say compromise, when I talk about compromise, I'm not talking about, some people, they're not willing to compromise about what they want. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that we are not willing to compromise when it comes to principle, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to what God wants us to do. If we want the honor that comes from God, we have to fully obey the Lord. Amen. Fully obey the Lord. Now, this is where it gets real. This is where it can be difficult. And notice I'm saying fully obey the Lord. That's what makes it difficult. It's also what makes it real. In 1 Samuel 15, the Lord told King Saul to destroy the Amalekites and all of their livestock, but Saul didn't do it. When the prophet Samuel confronts him, he tries to say that he has obeyed the Lord. He killed most of the people and destroyed most of the livestock, but he saved the best. And here's what happens, 1 Samuel 15:13-16. We're going to be there for a while if you want to turn there. But then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Wow, just right out of the gate, He says, hey, I obeyed God, when he absolutely did not. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. You see, Saul didn't obey the Lord, and so when he is confronted by the prophet, he begins to make excuse. He blames the people. He says, it's the people, it's, you know, the people did this. He tries to justify it by saying that, well, we're going to make a sacrifice. We did this for a good reason. I want you to know that sounds a whole lot like what a lot of people do when they don't fully obey the Lord. I got a good reason for doing this. It's something that God would be happy with. I want you to know God is happy when we fully obey him. Amen. It's kind of interesting here. He says to Saul, be quiet. In the NIV, it just says, stop. I really believe this is the Lord's attitude towards our excuses when we try to justify why we didn't fully obey. Stop! He doesn't want to hear it. He's not interested. But, you know, I did it because, and these people, it doesn't matter what our excuse. God doesn't tell us to do anything we can't do. Samuel for sure couldn't take it. He said, be quiet. Stop it. We got excuses. We call them reasons when it's us. I mean, if it's somebody else, we'll call it an excuse, right? But when it's me, well, this is my reason. I don't think the Lord takes it that way. Reasons why we don't keep our commitments. Well, let's call it what it is. Excuses. Excuses why we don't really serve the Lord with a whole heart. Excuses why we don't forgive others. Well, you know, they did this to me and this happened and this happened. We've got our reasons. Excuses why people don't come to church. Excuses why we don't love our enemies. Excuses why we don't tithe. Excuses why we gossip and backbite. Oh, it's not gossip. I'm requesting prayer for so-and-so. And did you know? We've got all kinds of excuses. They come in every shape and form. Excuses why we involve ourselves in things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Excuses why we are not involved in what God is doing in the work of the ministry. Excuses why we don't pray and seek His face every day. Stop. If we want the honor that comes from God, we have to fully obey the Lord. Let's read on in Samuel, verse 17, chapter 15. When you were little in your own eyes, this is kind of strange because the scripture tells us that Saul was head and shoulders taller than anybody else in Israel, and yet he was so humble he considered himself little in his own eyes, like he was a nobody. When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Now, we're going to see another key here to having God's honor on our life. In verse 17, he says, when you were little in your own eyes, I made you king. See, if we want the honor that comes from the Lord, we have to be humble. As long as we have pride, God will not honor us. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. We're talking about honor from God. Before honor is humility. That's not the way it is in the world. But with God, before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Yes, I'm saying it over and over for a reason. Before honor is humility. Would you just say it one time? Before honor is humility. Amen. We need to get that down inside of us because it's so different than the attitude of the world. James 4:10 tells us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. See, when we humble ourselves, some people say, oh, well, you know, you don't want to be just a floor mat for people to trample on. That's not what being humble means. But when we see God as everything and we are nothing apart from him, I want you to know God will lift you up. He will honor you. When Saul was little in his own eyes, he was honored as the first king of Israel. But he didn't stay humble. Pride got in. Pride was at the heart of him seeking honor from men. Pride was at the heart of his disobedience. If we seek the honor that comes from God, we will always obey him fully. Saul did it mostly. Verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He still doesn't get it, does he? And gone on the mission which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, the sheep, the oxen, and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Somehow, in his mind, he had justified what he had done. He deceived himself. And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. If we're not obeying God fully, doing what the Word says. I mean, sometimes maybe we even think we've obeyed. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts and show us where we've deceived ourselves. I mean, if we're making an excuse, if we have to have a reason, if we have to justify something, maybe it's an area where we have deceived ourselves, we fooled ourselves. So often, people today, generally speaking, they would say, you know, generally speaking, they mostly obey God, but don't fully obey. In their minds, somehow, a lot of the things of the Old Testament, a lot of the teachings of Jesus and all the rest of the scripture are no longer commands, but somehow kind of spiritual suggestions. I want you to know there's a whole lot of not fully obeying the Lord going on in the body of Christ. And it doesn't honor God. It brings reproach on the name of Christ. There's a lot of people out there that know a lot of the scripture. And they know that we're not living it. Church, we need to hear the word of the Lord this morning. If we want honor from God on our life, we have to fully obey. We can't play games. James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That's where the issue is. As you see, a lot of the time when we don't obey, we deceive ourselves like Saul did. I obeyed. Did we fully obey? If we really want the honor that comes from God, we fully obey. Partial obedience. What that means is we obey when we want to and how we want to. That's what that means. When I want to, how I want to. This is the religious culture we live in. How I want to. What happened to what God wants? What happened to fully obeying the Lord, desiring to please Him in everything that we do? So, verse 22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." There's that famous phrase, to obey is better than sacrifice and to heed than the fat of rams. See, sometimes people disobey the Lord and then they try to justify it by doing something else. We're going to sacrifice these animals. They've got another idea. God said do this, but wait, I got an idea. Let's do this instead. It doesn't matter how great we think it is, how big of a sacrifice we think we're making. Obedience is better, to fully obey the Lord. Oh, that's what He wants. Jesus says in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Wow. Jesus always makes it real. He called them out. I believe He's doing that again this morning. He's calling us out. In John 12:26, Jesus says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. What does it mean to serve the Lord? You know, most of the time nowadays when people talk about somebody serving the Lord, they really just kind of mean, well, you know, they go to church a little bit and they're a Christian. That means they're serving the Lord. That is not scripturally what it means to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord means that you are His servant. Let me put it like this. I want you to know I'm His boy. Nobody else's, but I am His boy. I want to serve Him. I don't always do it. I'm not trying to put myself up. I mean, if I'm anything at all, it's the Lord. I give Him the glory. I'm just saying that we need to have this heart and this attitude that I want to live my life to serve Him. It's not a part-time thing. You can't have a little dab of Jesus. That's phony. With Jesus, it's always been all or nothing. And if we're going to get honor from God, it's going to be because we truly serve Him with the whole heart. It is submitting your life to Him, to live for Him, to live to please Him, to make Him your Lord and Master, to put your life under His control. Amen. To do whatever He says. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Back to Samuel 15:23. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king." Because Saul disobeyed the Lord, you see, disobedience dishonors God. And because Saul disobeyed the Lord, the Lord dishonored him. from being king. He told him he would be removed from being king. Now, when Samuel tells Saul that, he finally tells the truth. He finally comes to grips with reality. And he says, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He finally admits he sinned. He stopped saying, I obeyed. He's finally come to the place, you see, when he realizes that this is real, that he's going to be removed from being king. Then he says, wait, yes, I've sinned. I didn't fully obey. I have to add fully in there. It just says I didn't obey. But I have to add fully, because we're just like Saul so much of the time. If we obey 90%, we obey the Lord, right? Man, y'all are quiet. We'll just keep going. This once great leader, he says he obeyed the voice of the people. He says, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He's become a people pleaser. And instead of fearing God and obeying his voice, he fears the people and he obeys their voice. He's thinking more about what somebody else is going to say or somebody else is going to do rather than what the Lord thinks about it. That's a bad place to be. You see, if we want honor from the Lord, we need to always, always, always fear the Lord. We're not afraid of our Father, but we always have regard and respect and reverence, and we live our lives. We know that we are living our lives every moment of every day before an all-seeing God who hears everything and knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And we live with that knowledge, that fear of the Lord, that awesome God is always with us and watching. He sees and he knows everything. Proverbs 22:4, by humility, you see these go together, humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. How? Humility and the fear of the Lord. But Saul feared the people more than God. It was a trap. It was a snare. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare. You see, the fear of man will trap you. It'll get you disobeying God. If you allow the opinion of others to control your life, it'll keep you from obeying God. It's very foolish to care more about what people think than what the Lord thinks. You want to get involved in ministry? Are you afraid of what somebody else is going to say? Are you afraid of the impact of that? Are you going to obey God? Do you fear the Lord? Are we afraid to truly give ourselves to the Lord totally and completely, to be willing to do whatever he says? Are we afraid to truly worship God in front of others? Afraid that somebody's going to think that you're weird? Afraid that somebody's going to think you're not cool? Hello? I'll be real honest with you. I worship up here on the front row. And you know what? I'm going to worship God no matter what. But sometimes I wish I was hiding somewhere in the back, because I just wonder if I might be just a little freer. But there's a lot of people, I mean, my goodness, they won't even sing. because they're afraid somebody might hear them. When the Bible says, sing unto the Lord, there's a lot of people, they're afraid to clap their hands, you know. They're not afraid to clap them anywhere else, only in church. They're afraid to lift their hands to God. I'm telling you, there's so many different ways that the scripture tells us to praise and to worship. And yet, a lot of people are afraid to do those things because they're afraid of what somebody else might think. Oh, here's one. Well, they know. How sinful I am. I look like a hypocrite. The woman who was known to be a sinner, she came and she washed his feet with her tears. She dried them with the hair of her head. She poured out expensive oil on his feet. It was an amazing expression of love and worship. She didn't care what those Pharisees said. Do we allow the fear of man to keep us from doing all that God wants us to do? That's what happened to Saul. Now get this. He still wants the honor of man. Verse 30 of chapter 15. I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. He wants to be honored before the people, before the elders of my people and before Israel, he says. He dishonored the Lord because he sought the honor of others. He dishonored the Lord because he feared the people more than he did God. He dishonored the Lord because of his pride. And he dishonored the Lord through his disobedience. We honor God by our obedience. And when Moses, think about this, when Moses, this great leader, I mean, when you study the scripture, Moses is one of the greatest leaders of the Bible. I mean, other than Jesus, some would consider him to be the greatest leader. Great man of God, used mightily of the Lord. And I know that God has honored Moses. I mean, he was honored on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was him and Elijah that met with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's an honor. But I want to tell you this, though. At one point, when the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock so that water would flow out for the people, instead, probably because of his frustration and anger with the people, instead of obeying God, he hit the rock with his staff. Well, the water flowed out. But the Lord was not pleased. And this is what the Lord said. Because you did not believe me to hallow me, the NIV says to honor me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given him. Moses, this great man of God, a great leader, because of his disobedience, he didn't have the honor of leading God's people into that promised land. For 40 years, he led them in the wilderness, but he didn't get to lead them in to the promised land because the Lord said, because you didn't honor me. We always honor the Lord with our obedience. The honor that comes from God comes through living a life of character, integrity, and holiness. Don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yes, if we live a life of character and integrity and honesty, yes, that honors God, but he honors us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, it says, in a great house there are not only vessels, and we talked about this metaphor of a vessel last week, but there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. You see, we are all vessels, and we can be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from dishonor, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I want you to know, to be used of God is a great honor. If God uses you to touch somebody else's life, what an amazing thing. What an honor. But he says that we're to cleanse ourselves from the dishonor. See, there's nothing honorable about profanity. There's nothing honorable about pornography. There's nothing honorable about being drunk or using drugs. There's nothing honorable about bitterness or an outburst of anger. I mean, we could just keep going here, but we just need to realize that we need to live a life that's honorable, amen, and get the things that are not right out of our life. Now, some people, they might hear this or read that passage and just think, well, God can't use me. Oh, yes, he can. You just need to get right. You need to go to the Lord and get things right with God. He has promised that he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you gotta cleanse those things out of your life. You gotta decide that you're gonna live for God. And listen, when you really live for God, he's gonna honor you as being a vessel of honor. Many times the honor that comes from God comes by what we do in secret. Now, I've said several times in this message that we should always give the honor, the glory to God, and that ought to be very public. But there are some things that bring honor in our life that are to be done in secret. Jesus talks about these. He says, when you give in secret, not to be seen by men, and then your Father will reward you openly. It says when we pray, we're to pray in secret, not for show, and then our Father will reward us openly. It's amazing to me that still 2,000 years after Jesus taught this about, well, let's talk about giving in secret, that people still want credit. I'm not talking about for your taxes. I'm talking about want public acknowledgement. Not in this church, because we don't do that. But here's the thing. There are a lot of ministries and churches that play off of that pride, wanting honor for themselves. And if you give a certain amount, your name will be here, or they'll even mention your name, or so what? Oh, did you know? And Jesus specifically said they already have their reward. But here's the thing. When we do that in secret, our Heavenly Father who sees in secret, he rewards us openly. You know how this goes. People say, well, I don't see why God has blessed them. I don't see why blah, 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 blah. That's right. You don't see it because they didn't brag about it. They didn't post it on Facebook. Hey, y'all, look at what I did. How about look at what God did? But some things, you see, yes, we live a life of integrity before the world. Some things need to be done in secret. Our prayer life, Now, I want to say, there are times we get together and we pray. We're going to pray for people here at the end of the service, and that's scriptural. That's not what Jesus was talking about when he said to pray in secret. It's okay for us to have prayer together, and it's okay even for us to say with the right heart, the right attitude, I prayed for you. You know how I know that? Because the Apostle Paul did it several times in his letters. I prayed for you. And I know personally how much it encourages me when people say, I prayed for you. But we never do it to look good in the eyes of others. We don't need to talk about and brag about our personal prayer life, but we just need to leave that in secret between us and the Lord. And he rewards us openly. You see, we do our part in secret, but what he does, everybody sees. That's honor. The honor that comes from God comes when we truly love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. With all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Listen to this from Psalm 91, 14 and 15. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Who? The one who set their love upon him. Amen. Yes, we can have God's honor on our life. So much so that the world around us sees the blessing of God, how good God is to us. And here's the thing. The accounts are not settled in this life. Because when we get over there, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged for our sins, they're under the blood, but to be judged for reward. And I want to tell you that in eternity, there's going to be honor. There's going to be crowns. Anybody read the Bible? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I want a crown. I want a crown. No, not because I think I look pretty. Because when it comes time to cast your crown at the feet of Jesus, I want a crown. Yeah. So we want to live a life that God honors. Stand with me, we're going to pray.